Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. This week's episode features Doug Witter with part one of a message called Your Ministry is Your Cross.
I would like to begin, I'm not going to read too many scriptures tonight, which is a little break from my way of ministering. But I would like you to turn to the third chapter of Revelation for a few moments. I am sure that we are all aware of the fact that we have come to a time in the affairs of God and of man when He is beginning to speak to us in no uncertain terms. I was very, very much impressed and thrilled last night when the prophecies went forth to India. If my memory serves me right, a similar prophecy went forth like that when we were in Africa. I believe that God has brought us to a time when He is speaking to us about specific things. Those prophecies last night could have been given, and if India had not been named, I suppose they could have fit, in a sense, every nation on the earth. But God, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and by prophetic utterance, spoke to India. I believe that God is speaking in a specific way to every one of us in this auditorium this evening. In this third chapter of Revelation, we will read from the seventh verse. It says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all of the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him a new name. He that hath an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I say to you tonight, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church in 1985. Hallelujah. I may come back to that. But turn now, if you will, to Matthew 17 and verse beginning to read at, I'm sorry, it's chapter 16. Didn't seem right. Chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that are of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Hallelujah. The particular verse that seemed to rest upon my heart for the last 2 or 3 days is what Jesus said, If any man shall come or follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We have been told by prophetic utterance since coming to these meetings that there is before us an open door. I have thought, and I'm sure all of you have, I have thought and I have asked God concerning that open door. And I suppose there are many things that could be involved in this open door. But I would like to especially speak to you young men and women at a door of opportunity that is before you tonight as children of God. We were taught many years ago, maybe some of you weren't even born yet, but we were told, I believe by again prophetic utterance, that your ministry was your cross. And that is true, just as true tonight, if not more so than it was then. Many of you that stood this evening, some of you already are elders. Some of you are already our deacons. You bear the responsibility of the flock of God. To me, it is one of the highest callings and the greatest honor that could be bestowed upon any human being, to be called of God to fulfill a ministry that is appointed by the Holy Ghost. It is something that we should revere and honor with dignity and respect. It is something that the Word of God teaches us that we should desire above all else, that we may fulfill that which God has ordained for our lives. Some of you young people tonight will be elders one day. I am sure of that. I don't know who you are, and at this point that really doesn't matter. Some of you dear young women will be elders' wives. Some of you young men will be deacons in the local church. Some of you young women will be deacons, wives of those that hold the office of a deacon. With those offices comes a great responsibility before God. And excuse me, I am built this way and sometimes I wished I wasn't. But I wonder sometimes, young people, and please hear me, I wonder if you are ready to receive the responsibility that comes with such an office. It requires dedication. It requires separation. It requires a devotion unto God far beyond, I am sure, we ever realized. We are beginning to realize as brethren and elders of the Church Universal, as traveling deacons, as local elders, as local deacons, we are beginning to realize the weight and the responsibility that God has entrusted to such human mortals as we. I want you to be prepared to go through this open door. Take up thy cross and follow me. What will it require? It will require much. As I have mentioned, it requires a dedication. It requires separation. It requires sometimes you being in that sort of a peculiar group that are misfits in the world systems of today. I want you to know, dear young people, and all of us here tonight, there is absolutely no way that the systems of this transitory age in which we live can have part nor parcel of the Church of the Living God. If ever God is calling out and separating a people unto Himself, it is the hour in which you and I sit tonight in God's presence. You will be strange. You will be odd. There was a man came once, clothed in a piece of animal's rawhide, eating locusts and wild honey, that came to herald the message of the coming of Jesus Christ. They thought he was an absolute nut and fool. But he was ordained of God to make the preparation that men might receive him. I do not believe that you need to be just sort of misfits altogether. But there comes a time, my dear brother, sister, it was prophesied the other night, and someone said, if somebody had stood up, I'd have stood with them. It was prophesied that the time has come when we must stand up and be counted. God wants to separate unto himself a people in order that we can go in through this open door. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there'll be a screening process. I don't want to put damnation on anyone, but maybe it'll be all right if I put a little of the fear of God in your heart. Take up thy cross and follow me. Your cross is your ministry. I am sure there are elders within the sound of my voice tonight that have had to deprive their family of many things because of the office they hold. How many times has it happened when you had arranged a little outing with your family? Maybe you were going to the lake, or you were going for a picnic, or you were going to do something. And that invention of Graham Bell, he'd have to have a name like Graham, rang. And one of the sheep were sick. And they'd called for the elders of the church. You had to deprive your children and your wife of that outing because of the responsibility that God had set upon you as an elder. Choose you this day whom you will serve. When one needs to make such a choice, we must make the right choice. I am sure that we are confronted, and I know you, dear young people, are confronted. I suppose practically every day of your life you are challenged. Your morals are challenged. Your standards are challenged. It is so easy to let down. It is so easy to get caught in the current, and as one of the brethren said, to be squeezed into this mold system. It is so easy to drift with the crowd. But it takes a lot of spiritual stamina and intestinal fortitude in order to stand and face the crowd and go the way that God wants you to go. Take up thy cross and follow me. How many times have you deacons had other things in mind when God required your services? Take up thy cross and follow me. It may appear on the surface that being, I'll use the word for lack of a better, a traveling ministry, whether it be the brethren here or the traveling deacons, it may appear on the surface as though it is very glamorous. I remember the first time I was leaving this continent. I'd never been off of it. I was going to the West Indies. And I was making preparations to go, getting all these needles stuck in you and what all they have to do to you in order for you to go. And I was talking to somebody, and somehow we got on the subject, and they asked what I was doing or where I was going, so I told them, oh my, that must be wonderful. There was only one wonderful thing I could think of, and that was 309th Street East. There wasn't anything that appealed to me. Excuse me, brethren, where are you? There wasn't anything appealed to me about the Caribbean except the call of God. I remember sitting in an elders and deacons meeting in the Caribbean. And Brother Wager seems to always get the breaks. He had the ladies to talk to, and I had the men. But we were having a kind of an open time when if they had any questions or problems, that we would try and help them with them as much as possible. And I'll never forget this man, and I believe he did it in sincerity. He stood up and he had a few things to say. And then he said this, I'll never forget it if I live to be as old as Methuselah, and I hope I do. I'm a little old. But he said, right in the sort of the context of what he was saying, he says, well, what I am really trying to say is this, what I'd really like to be is a traveling ministry. And I just happened to turn, and Brother Miller was sitting on the end of a bench. He just about fell right off the end of the bench on the floor. I thought to myself, dear man, you do not know what you're asking for. There is nothing glamorous about it. Listen, young people. There's a cross that must be borne. We are living in a different age. It seems that there are so many things that are different. You young ladies, God bless you. We love you. We love you young men too. Better put that in or I'm in trouble. But there is something that I want you to hear tonight. Just perchance, God might have his eye on your husband. There could come a time in your life when you won't see that hubby of yours for weeks on end. I remember being in conversation once where a young woman was complaining about her husband being away for 3 days. I asked her, in kindly, how would you like to try 7 weeks? Take up thy cross and follow me. I want to tell you tonight, there is nothing glamorous about a cross. It's a cross. There's nothing that's beautiful about a cross. But there's nothing that is more glorious than a cross. I remember talking to someone not too long ago, and we were talking about ministries and ministering. And we got on the subject of young men. I believe it was an elder I was talking to. And how that the time is coming when, as brethren, we feel that God is beginning to open the way. That's why I'm speaking to you like this tonight. That some of you younger men start and bear some of the responsibility of the church. We, none of us here, bless you, none of us here have any intentions of leaving you. I hope that I'm around to be miserable for the next 500 years, because I'll likely get more miserable as years go on. Even cheese, they say, gets better with age. if you like strong cheese. But God has been very gracious over the years. There was a time when there were only the brethren. We didn't have such a thing as a traveling deacon. To that point, God hadn't really made clear what a traveling deacon was. You well remember that. But then in His wonderful love and mercy, He opened the way. He shone a little light on our pathway. He opened one of those doors before us. And thanks be to God, we went into it. Because even during this camp meeting, you have benefit from at least three of those dear brethren that God has added to the apostolic body. But there was a time there weren't such things as traveling deacons, but thanks be to God there are now. There was a time when we never had any what we call helpers, but thanks be to God there are now. But the responsibility of the office is going to rest on some of you young people. And God is going to require much at your hands. I want you to be prepared to bear that responsibility. I am sure that we all enjoy life. I can't hit a ball like I used to. I understand that the 29ers are going to play the 29ers and up. I would love to be with you 29ers and down. But for one reason, I don't think I could see the ball coming anymore. And the second reason, I got too much to swing. If I ever hit it, that would be it. But we love life, and we should. I have never believed that a Christian should be one that goes around with a long face and has no excitement in life. To me, the greatest excitement in life is being a child of God, because God is eternally progressive. You go from glory to glory, from one horizon to another horizon. And when you come to the pinnacle of that experience, there is yet an eternity before you that you can go on to. I can't understand, and I'll say it. Some of you young people sometimes will come along and you'll say, I'm bored to death. What are you bored to death over? Most of you got an automobile. I had a bicycle. Most of you got more money dangling around your pockets than I seen when I was a kid in all my school years. If you get a Big Mac attack, you go and have one. I used to have a cereal attack every night. Rice Krispies or Corn Flakes. God has been good to you. But don't get caught up in those things to the point where it robs you of your crown. There is a cross that must be borne. I think that your home should be the finest, most wonderful places on the face of God's earth. Because you have an advantage that we didn't have when we were in your position. We didn't know about the order of the home. as you know it today. We made it by trial and error. Thank God we made it. But you have in the local church, you have such divine direction given to you that is inspired of the Holy Ghost that can save you from all of the pitfalls of this dying age in which we live. If you'll just walk in it. One of the brethren here, and I'm not here to speak on it tonight, but if there's ever been a curse on God's earth, it's women's lib and the feminist movement. I've named it so you can hang me if you like. But that thing has separated families from the order that God has intended for a family in 1985. I would say it, and I say it kindly. I would rather go back to riding a bicycle. Now that I'm married, I'd get a bicycle built for two. And I would steer it and put my wife on the back to pedal it. But I would rather go back to that than to have all of the luxuries of this age and lose my crown. Take up thy cross. Take up your cross and follow him. It's going to require separation from the world. There is no place. There is no way. I am sure you would be disappointed, heartbroken, and spiritually offended if you were to go downtown some afternoon in North Battleford and see Brother Holt coming staggering out of the Capri with a big cigar in his mouth. God requires separation. He's going to require that you refrain from doing a lot of things that is permissible in society, in the world. That is, if you're going to be a pillar, as I read to you from Revelation, in the church. If you're going to bear the responsibility of eldership, or of being a deacon, and I'll go further than that, of ministering in the local church. Take up thy cross and follow me. There is an idea, and sadly to say, I think it has crept in some areas into our homes. Children are the responsibility of parents. But about 90% of the care of children belongs to motherhood. Did you hear me? Somebody, I think it was Brother Holt, I know the feeling. If there is any way that I can postpone things, and live with it for a half an hour until Mama got home. I'd feed them candies or anything to keep them occupied until that horrible transaction was finished. There isn't such things as taking turns. I don't think there's a father in this building tonight, and I say this with all due respect and kindness, that is above changing a baby's diaper. If there is, Brother Holt wants to talk to you after the meeting. But there are things that belong in the responsibility of being a mother, and there are equally responsibilities in being a father. And I don't like to see, let me rephrase that, we don't like to see a man having to fulfill the mother's role any more than we like to see a woman having to fulfill the man's role. You are workers together. I hoover the floor when things are desperate. If somebody's driving in the driveway, I never move so fast in my life. The other day I was trying to hook up this apparatus, and it has two buttons on it. Just two. Now, if it had six, I'd have had a problem. But these two buttons on the top of this instrument, it starts the motor running, and the other one pulls the cord in, and guess which one I stepped on first? And of course, when it's unplugged, it don't work. There's nothing wrong with a man making supper when he has to. It's the last resort for some of us. But I met a man and his wife just within the last few months, where that man did actually practically everything in that home. He bought the groceries. All his wife could do is what he told her to do. That is a disorder. He wondered what was wrong. The biggest problem was him. God has ordained. I watch our little granddaughter and a lot of little girls around the campgrounds here. Someone was saying the other day, when a boy picks up a doll, it might be by the leg, upside down, backwards, sticks it under its arm this way, the head out this end, feet out this end, walks along. Very rarely do you ever see a girl do that. Why? There is something that God Almighty has placed in that little innocent heart that doesn't know how babies come or anything else, that no man can put there, much less take away. But the responsibility of motherhood, hear me, young mothers, please, never let this transitory age that we are living in rob you of the precious joys of raising your children. Take up thy cross and follow me. You young men have responsibilities in raising that young family. Don't leave everything to your wife. There's nothing that I suppose dislike more than when you come home and you have to give Tommy a spanking for something you didn't see him do. But it's necessary. Discipline must be a high priority in every believer's home. I am not speaking of child abuse. I am speaking about Bible discipline. You can raise them on psychology if you like. But psychology will never do what a good slap on the behind will do. And take a lot more time to boot. That responsibility of your home is vital in the growth and the establishing of the Church of God. You may have changes that you will have to go home from this meeting and make, but I beg of you tonight, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.